Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, here we go, the 10 revived Roman Empire kingdoms. Partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, and as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And as the iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, that is the seven toes. I'm waiting for somebody to go, there's 10 toes. Yeah, but three of them get overthrown. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. That's the messianic kingdom when Messiah returns from Revelation 19. Which shall never be destroyed. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And the kingdom shall be not left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain. Who is that stone? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's Messiah. Yep. Without hands, that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God is made known to the king, what shall come to pass after this. This dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Look also at Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 to 24. It gives us more insight into this end-time confederacy of nations that we call the kingdom of the false Messiah. Or the beast with seven heads and 10 horns. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Daniel himself has a vision of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And verse 7 begins the vision of Rome in particular. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So when we get to the 10 horns, that's the equivalent of the 10 toes, the equivalent of the 10 crowns in Revelation 17. So at that point, we're in the last days. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one. That's the false Messiah himself. He begins as a little horn. He's a minor, insignificant character. Is he right now the president of the United States? No. Is he the king of a foreign country? No. He's a minor, insignificant character at this point. Coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. Here's where he comes to power. He overthrows three of the 10 kings. That's why there's seven heads and 10 crowns. Because seven of the heads were torn out. Plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 all over. Verse 9, I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. This is Revelation chapter 4. The rapture and the resurrection takes place. The thrones were put in place for the Bema Seat judgment of the believers. His garment was white as snow. Just think of Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration of Messiah. Hair of his head was like pure wool. Which means he looks ancient because he's been from the beginning. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. That's described for us at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel. It describes the throne of the Lord and the four angelic beasts that carry it. A fiery stream issued. Fire represents judgment. So judgment is going forth from the throne. And came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. After Revelation chapter 4 comes Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the first seal. The false Messiah begins to rule and reign on the earth, first through peace, then through war. So it says, verse 11, I watched them because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. What does the scripture tell us? The false Messiah claims to be God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself to the people that he's God. It says, I watched till the beast was slain. That's in Revelation 19, verse 20. And his body destroyed and given to the burning flame that is cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And in verse 13, this is not exactly chronological, but we understand from verse 13 and 14 what happens in Revelation 19. It says, I was watching in the night vision, behold, one like the Son of Man. That's Messiah's favorite term for himself, the Son of Man. Coming with the clouds of heaven, that's the raptured and resurrected saints. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. That's the stone being given his kingdom, the messianic kingdom on earth. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He doesn't understand what all this means. He just knows it's bad. It's awesome. It's fearful. So it says, I came near to one of those who stood by, that is one of the angelic host, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are four kings which rise out of the earth. That's Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom. That's when Messiah comes. And possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever, which means without end. The messianic kingdom goes on into eternity, never to end. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. He says, yeah, I got that, but I want to know a little more about this fourth beast. It was really scary. It was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up. He says, I don't understand this. Before which 3 fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words. What's pompous mean? Arrogant, obnoxious, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. That is, he starts out tiny and insignificant and becomes much more powerful than the others. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints. What do you know about the saints from Revelation 14, verse 12? They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. So they're saved by faith, walking according to the commandments of God. And here, this pompous beast is prevailing against the saints of God. And Daniel says, I don't understand how that can happen. And was prevailing against them until... It's on now. Until the... Never mind what happened. Ignore the man behind the curtain. Until, verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came. That is when Messiah comes. The false Messiah doesn't win anymore. He's defeated. And judgment was made in favor of the saints and the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, in other words, the angel is explaining now what this fourth beast is. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth. That's Rome, R-O-M-E, Rome. John couldn't just come out and say that in Revelation, though. Or his letter never would have gotten off the island. Would you believe back in those days they censored prisoners' mail? Yep. We shall be different from all other kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. In other words, it wouldn't be conquered. It would fall apart internally. And that's what happened. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. They have to be from the old Roman Empire. And another shall arise after them. This is the little horn. So there will be 10 kings solidly controlling their territories. Three of them get overthrown, and the other seven will voluntarily submit to the authority of the false Messiah. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High and shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to. What's intend to mean? Will try to change times. The word times refer to the festival seasons, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, etc. And law, meaning the Torah. This false Messiah does not want anyone to worship God or to follow after his commandments at all. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. That's 3.5 years. So that puts verse 25 right in the middle of the tribulation period at the time of Revelation chapter 12. Verse 26 says, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion. That's verses 13 and 14. Messiah is going to return in Revelation 19, take away the kingdom of the false Messiah and throw the false Messiah into the lake of fire, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So that was the interpretation, the understanding. So back to Revelation 17, verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw, that's the same as in Daniel chapter 7. Are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet. But they receive authority for an hour as kings with the beast. So they are not in power at the moment. They're going to arise after the rapture and the resurrection. And they will rule over Europe. And then up comes an upstart who is going to uproot three, take their power, and the rest will give them their authority voluntarily. It says, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Verse 13, they are of one mind. Does that mean they're stupid? They share a brain between all of them? No, it means they're of one opinion, one accord. And they will give their power and authority to the beast. That is, the seven give him their authority and power willingly, voluntarily. Verse 14, these will make war with the Lamb. What's that mean? That's the battle of Armageddon. That's what it's talking about. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Let's go back to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 prophesied this great battle where all the nations of the world are coming against Messiah. Zechariah 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. That's what we were just reading about in Revelation. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Revelation 19:11. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, whose face is Jerusalem on the east. Okay, back to Revelation 17. So in verse 14, that war is the war of Armageddon. Has the war of Armageddon already been mentioned in Revelation? Yes, that was in chapter 16. So this is simply describing in greater detail what's going to happen. The Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords, meaning he is over all nations of the world. His authority is supreme. And he's King of Kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, where is Messiah called Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Not just here, but where else? Revelation 19, 16. Yeah, we know that. Okay. So verse 15. Then he said to me, here's an explanation, as if we didn't understand already. The waters which you saw, what do waters represent in prophecy? The Gentile nation. Where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So where does the harlot, and the harlot in here refers to a false religious system, where does this false religious system have sway and control? Over all the nations. And what do we read in Revelation 13? The leader of this false religious system, the false prophet, tries to get the whole world to worship who? The false Messiah, the beast. Now you see how it's all coming together. So verse 15, he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot. Wait a minute. How can a false Messiah hate a false religious system trying to get the world to worship him? He doesn't want anybody else to have any control over anything, does he?
That goes back to 2 Thessalonians 2.
That goes back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 also, yes. So the 10 horns, verse 16, which you saw in the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. In other words, the false Messiah is going to stamp out even the false religious system, for fear that people will worship something or someone other than him.
Plus,
yeah, a little paranoid.
Plus, the church is the rider, right? So it's the rider is the controller of the beast, and the beast doesn't want to have a rider.
For a long time, the woman has had control over the beast, and the beast won't take it. So let's go look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A little bit past where we read before. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. We stopped at verse 3, which said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away or snatching away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So Satan's plan all along has been, worship anybody you want except God. Obey anybody you want except God. The false Messiah says, no, 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 worship and follow nobody but me. Me, me only. So they sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is. What do you know about this man? We saw it in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. But in verse 7, the Apostle Paul tells us, for the mystery of lawlessness, that which is contrary to the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God that we call the Torah, is already at work. Meaning all the way back in the first century, Satan was trying to get people to stop following God's commandments and start following man-made rules and regulations. It didn't wait till the fourth century. It started all the way back in the first. Messiah warned us, Paul warned us, John warned us, Peter warned us. They all tried to warn us that these false doctrines are going to try and get you to worship and follow somebody other than God. That's why he calls it the mystery of lawlessness, meaning it's hidden in plain sight if you just look. And in verse 8 says, and then the lawless one, that's the false Messiah. The mystery of lawlessness was already at work 2,000 years ago, but the false Messiah is the lawless one, the one who wants to destroy anything that God created or laid down or commanded. will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. The truth. Psalm 119, verse 147 says, the Torah is the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, because they do not want to know the truth, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What's another term for unrighteousness? Lawlessness. What's that, Mike?
Because they didn't want to believe the truth, right? They sent them a strong delusion. Is that, is that analogous to strengthening Pharaoh's heart? Remember, sometimes Pharaoh strengthened his heart and, made it hard, and sometimes the Lord strengthened him, gave him support for what he was trying to do. And it seems to me that that's probably analogous to this.
Could be, yeah.
That they don't want to believe, so,
so they don't have to. So he lets them believe whatever they want to.
And he sends them a delusion to even strengthen what they're...
What's that? On the web?
Could that also include, believing a lie is that when people, especially Christians, say that we are not under the law?
Yep. Can be. But that's just a misunderstanding of what the phrase under the law means. Let's go back to Romans 6, since you made use of that phrase, and let's look and see what that actually means. Romans 6, verse 15. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. In 1 John 3, 4, we know that sin is lawlessness. Sin is breaking the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. That's how God defines sin. And in verse 15 of Romans 6, Paul asks the question, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? The answer is certainly not. But that word under is the Greek word hupa, and it means of or through. So to put it in better English, what then? Shall we sin because we're not saved by the law, but saved by grace? And the answer is certainly not. So the question he raises is, if we're not saved by keeping the law, does that mean we should just live in sin? And he says, absolutely not. And he explains in verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So if one lives a life of sin, he says, the end of that is eternal death. Back to Revelation 17. And when it says God will give them strong delusion if they'll believe the lie, it has to do with Deuteronomy chapter 13. So let's digress from on to Deuteronomy 13. Where God tells us 3,000 years ago, give or take, that these things at the time of the end are going to take place. Remembering that the original Scriptures have no chapter breaks. Let's start in 12, verse 32, because it's all one continuous teaching. In Deuteronomy 12, 32, the scripture says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So we're told right here that the commandments of God will never change. God won't add to them, he won't take away from them, and neither should we. And then in chapter 13, verse 1, he says, if, which you can just change to when, because it's going to happen, if there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, What is the false prophet going to do? We read in Revelation 13. He's going to call down fire from heaven in the presence of the people. And he says, this is your God, worship him. He's going to call down fire from heaven as proof. And people are going to go, whoa, that's cool. He must be God. But it says, verse 2, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass. Does the false prophet have the ability to call down fire from heaven? No, but God does. And the sign of the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, i.e. the false Messiah, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Then in verse 4, he explains what that means. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. So the spirit of the lawless one, we learn in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, has been here from the beginning, trying to get people to not obey God, but to obey anybody but God. The false Messiah is going to call down fire from heaven and do other miraculous signs like that. And God says, I'm going to let that happen to see whether you'll believe me or not. This is why in Acts chapter 10, when the apostle Peter sees these animals, clean and unclean, come down from heaven on a sheet, and the voice says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter says, what? Not so, Lord, for I've never done anything common or unclean. Never eaten anything common or unclean. He knows it's a test. Will he follow the Lord or won't he? And he passes the test because he knew that these tests were coming. Get back to Revelation 17. Back to Revelation chapter 17. Verse 17, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled, meaning until they come to pass all that has been prophesied. They're going to do that which God said they're going to do. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So John is given one last clue if you haven't picked up on it yet. What great city was there in the days when John was on Patmos that ruled over all the kings of the earth? Rome. Can't say Rome, but he can give enough clues. Everybody goes, yeah, that's Rome. Back in Revelation 14, verse 8. Revelation 14, verse 8. John uses another description for Rome to keep out of the hands of the censors. Verse 8. Another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That's not talking about the literal city of Babylon. It was destroyed thousands of years ago, never to be rebuilt or re-inhabited. So it's the city that continues the teachings. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.